Hey, it's Lily Von Schnupp. I'm sitting here with Chris Beyond, and we are pleased as punch. This weekend has been absolutely fabulous. We've managed to talk with so many legends, so many title holders. We got to talk with the current Miss Exotic World, who just received her crown last evening, Angie, and it was a wonderful performance. We are very proud of her, and we are fortunate enough to be sitting with the title holder of last year, who passed on her crown today, but certainly not her beauty, her grace, her style, or her talent. After the performance last night, I was amazed. Miss Immodesty Blaze from London, correct?
Hi, yes, I'm from London.
Yes. Were you born in London, or is that just where you're? Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you had been there through your whole career, which career I mean from learning to walk to performing as a goddess.
Learning to walk in high heels.
Yeah, really.
Hey, listen, I was born in high heels.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't believe that to be true at all.
That's how I came out.
I love it. Your poor mother. She's kicking again. Ow. That's very funny. Can't you just see little teeny tiny little high heels? Were they covered in Swarovski crystals as well as a child?
Oh, yeah.
Were you one of the kids that just had all the feathers? You would find your mother's feather duster and wear it?
No, actually. Okay. I didn't do too much dressing up as a child, so I think that's why I'm making up for lost time now.
Were you a tomboy? Or
No. I was quite bookish. Yes. Yes, and I used to disappear into my little worlds, and I just used to draw women all the time.
Smart and beautiful.
Well.
No, really. It's amazing. So you were an avid reader. Do you think that that's part of the imagery and imagination that you use to come up with the things that you do? Because you have some incredible numbers.
Thank you.
I have to tell you, I loved the number that you won the title with. Was fantastic.
Thank you.
But last night you did a reverse strip as well that... Beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I must admit that the reverse strip, it's you would think that it would be easier to put your clothes on, and in fact it's a whole nother ball game. I've been doing the reverse strip for many years, obviously inspired by one of my favorites, Lily Sincere. But it's very much my act. I'm inspired by her, but I never want to copy someone else's act, so I've certainly made it my own.
Yes, and you have.
Yes, thank you. I do huge amounts of research. And I mean, my bookshelves just cover the walls, and I can be inspired by anything.
Yes. I recently had a newbie say to me, has anybody ever done this? Because this is what I'm thinking of doing. And I'm like, honey, everything has been done.
Yes.
The question is what you're going to do with it.
Exactly.
I'm like, here are some references of that type of thing. And frankly, it's a brilliant idea that you came up with not knowing it had been done. Mm-hmm. But use these references as a base to make what you do better. So the idea of the research is so important.
And I think if you do want to take elements of someone else's show, you really should credit them.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that if you cover someone's song, or
absolutely.
If you paint someone else's painting, you credit the original artist.
Absolutely.
I think that's very important for the up-and-coming burlesques to have some respect for.
And I have to tell you, it's been amazing over the weekend to see performances and introductions. And they do say, this is a number that was developed and inspired by blah, 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 blah. Please welcome Miss So-and-so.
Yeah, they were really good
and
about this
I saw that, and it was just like, especially when you're in a room where the legends are there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you really shouldn't be dumb enough. And if you do come up with a routine and all of a sudden you find out, oh, my God, this has been done and I'm almost doing it exactly like them, have the respect.
That's right.
And no matter how much time, energy, and money you put into it, no one's going to love you. No one's going to love you when they think you've stolen somebody else's idea, even if you haven't.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the most amazing things and incredible things about this weekend is that we really, we have all these legends here and we can learn so much from them. Every year I come, I learn something else and I hear another story, another incredible story and something that makes, us look like we're positively tame in comparison. I was hearing Lottie the Body talking about some of her experiences, and my God, she's got an incredible history.
Amazing.
Oh yeah.
I was fortunate enough to talk with her, and she is just the nicest, most wonderful woman you'd want to meet. Another one. Do you still get like I get? Do you get kind of starstruck?
Oh, with the legends, yes, of course I do.
Meeting contemporaries who have been dancing as long as I have, and it's like, I've heard so much about you, and oh my God, I finally got to see you perform, and all of a sudden I'm like, you know, can I get your autograph? I'm such a groupie. I can't help it. Because it's like,
sweet.
It is. It's wonderful and amazing to be in the same room and realize these are really kind of my peers, aren't they? Wow. You know, how did this, I'm always like my mom used to say, I'm just a girl from Iowa, you know, it's so hard. It's just overwhelming sometimes. It's sitting here talking with you is another one of those moments.
Oh,
it's great. I've seen you. I have seen you perform so much now. I have watched your career. I do extensive research. Like you say, if there's a video on YouTube about burlesque, I'm pretty sure I've seen it. You know, I read the blogs, I read the interviews, I find the books, I do as much research as possible. What's going on in the UK and London particularly is fantastic because you guys are working, making a living.
Yeah, you're on
doing
television.
Burlesque. They are treating you with the same type of star system that we had here in the 40s and the 50s, but is pretty much gone because now it's like, it's not so much are you talented, it's when you got out of your car last night, did you flash your hoo-hoo? That's all they care about in this country right now. And it saddens me.
There is a lot of that in Britain, of course there is. And with it being such a small country as well,
there
are more celebrities out there than there are normal people.
But the odds of the celebrity being on the cover of a glamour magazine versus on the internet half naked is still higher and more respected.
Do you know, it's a real shame. It's one of these things where people want reality and you're like, actually, we like a bit of fantasy around here. Yeah. And you know, I don't want to see stars without their makeup. Let them have their downtime without their makeup.
I agree.
And this idea that we have to know what they eat for breakfast. It's like, well, actually, I want to see when you're at your best and when, you know. And that's what's so beautiful about all of the legends we have here as well, seeing them in their finery and everything. And
yes,
they could have this image of a goddess because there wasn't this invasive sort of, you know, we have to know what your real name is. The amount of times that journalists will say, Immodesty Blaise, aka blah, age blah, and it's like, thanks for sort of perpetuating the mystery and the mystique. Thank you very much.
I legally changed my name, so no one will ever find my real name unless they really research, because I've moved enough that they can't find me, I think. Although I don't think I'd ever have anybody researching me, frankly.
So you're just a superhero. You don't have like the secret
I no longer have a day life. No.
Wow.
No, very sad.
Well, it is your day life, so that's great. I think it's fine.
I'm a superhero. That is my career.
Wonder Woman.
So when did you first step onto the stage with the idea? Because I'm assuming you've been a performer for a long time. It's not like you one day went, okay, I have no training, no nothing. I'm going to go be a dancer. Here I am. What was it or when was it that the first time you got on stage, you went, yes, I am a burlesque dancer. This is it.
Well, I started, it was about a decade ago. At that time, there was pretty much no cultural awareness of the genre in Britain. And so what you'd find was that you had to find places to perform that had a very sort of underground following, the sort of arty crowd and the kind of arty movers and shakers. And it stayed like that for a little while until I starred in a pop video for Goldfrapp, and it was on MTV a lot, and I was nipple tassling, and the press picked
English.
Up on it.
Oh, in English, that would be tassel twirling.
Pasties. You see, in England, we have things called pasties, and they're these like beef mince things with in pastry. So if we write pasties in London, people think, what's a pasty? So that's why we call them nipple tassel.
Nipple tassel, I think, sounds sexier, actually.
But, I guess from small beginnings, the profile started building. And then when I got my West End show, that was the real defining moment of it being mainstream, because we went for 5 months doing 7 shows a week in London's West End, which is the equivalent of Broadway.
Yeah.
So that was a real signal that we had finally a mainstream audience and we'd really brought it out into the mainstream. And, you know, since then I've debated at Oxford University. I've presented on TV and been on chat shows. You know, my shows sell out to thousands, not hundreds, but thousands now, which is great. And it's the ever sort of present struggle of finding beautiful venues in Britain, because they're few and far between.
Yeah.
Because they've either been modified for a real rock audience, so you don't get any wings at the side for stage, for props, for, you know, or it's, you know, everything's painted black and they've got rid of all the nice decor, or there's no dressing room, or, you know, the seating's wrong, or... The venues that allow for real beautiful theatrical production are few and far between, which is a real shame.
Yeah, we dress in a kitchen, what used to be the kitchen at our club. It's fabulous. It's very, very, very glamorous back there. And I hang my stuff off of the vent system that used to be over the stove. Yeah.
And there's still a few old burlesque theaters that...
We're very fortunate because in L.A. they did hold on to some of the culture there, and they have refurbished some of the most beautiful theaters there.
The Orpheum Theater, they put $3 million into that.
There are theaters that have now had so much money put into them to redo them that to hold a show there, you've got to guarantee selling it out at you know, $200 a ticket because you can't rent the place and pay the performers what they need to be paid for it otherwise. Mm-hmm. So we have that catch-22 because we don't have the widespread audience and appreciation and value to what burlesque is here in LA, in Los Angeles as much.
That's interesting. And I mean, I think that's fairly universal in the sense that we've become a nation of, you know, we have a quick hit everything. We have quick hit, you know, magazines where we just flick through and it's what did so-and-so celebrity eat for breakfast today? And then the next day it's a new one. We have TV all the time. Like Dixie said a couple of nights ago for the Legends Night when she explained about TV killed burlesque. And the idea that,
we
don't need live entertainment like we used to, because there is so much more out there and there's special effects and you can watch a 2-hour film of Crash Bang Wallop and you can see the Empire State Building blowing up if you want to.
Yeah.
And it's the idea of how can we entice people back into live entertainment and convincing people that actually the atmosphere and the energy, and it's not all about seeing it on a small screen, but it's actually being in amongst it and, you know, watching this beautiful painting unfold in front of you can be just as intoxicating, and that it's of the moment, you know.
It's more so intoxicating for me. It's much more incredible to say that was a moment in time that I may not be able to rewind 150,000 times, but it's a piece of me that no one can take away.
And it inspires you like that. I remember the first time I saw Dirty Martini perform. I will never forget that. And I'll never be able to rewind it like a movie, but I always remember her coming on stage and I was like, oh, woman.
Fabulous.
And I've been a huge Dirty fan ever since. I've brought her over to London a few times to be in my shows.
She's fantastic.
Oh, she's a force of nature.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
She's in Europe and I'm over here. But damn her.
That's because we have to, it's like you know, when you go away for, you have to send one over so that there's always that balance in the universe. Because if too many burlesque dancers, in fact, right now, Las Vegas had to send showgirls out so that we could be here this week.
Oh.
Because the whole time-space continuum would have just crashed.
Oh, my God. On the photo safari, you know, we made the first stop at Fremont Street.
Mm-hmm.
And great chance, you know, happening. There just happened to be, like, a classic car show right in the middle. And there were all these showgirls there. And then suddenly people's eyes were off the showgirls and on all the pinup girls and burlesque girls that we had brought to this photo safari.
Hey.
Yeah.
And like suddenly the showgirls were trying to like push themselves out.
I was here first. There's a stage presence of burlesque performers that is bigger than... And I think that's why I always say the step queens of the naked half-step children of the drag queens. Because they do... burlesque takes it one step above what glamour is usually. So it's like you can take that perfect pinup, put another 20 pounds of feathers and crystals on her, then you have the showgirl. There's that just separate little pushover. You were wonderful last night, Adana. Mwah. Oh, my God, you were fantastic.
Mwah.
I hated the microphone problems. Oh, I hated the microphone problems.
Oh, I loaned my windscreen to one of the
It's just awful. and it flew away as well, I'm sure. It's
we were against the elements last night.
My goodness. Right now, we have Adonna Vashay and we have Amber Ray, who both sang and danced last night, and the wind just wrecked havoc on them. But they were both
the troopers and were wonderful. Oh, the wind. I thought you said the wind. I thought, well, no, we're in the palms.
No, the wind.
We're not saying the name of the hotel we're in because I hate them and I won't give them the publicity.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay.
But you know what? Actually, that brings up a point because I think that's what's one of the problems we're having here with burlesque is, like, now it's more, to say it straight, a female-run enterprise for the most part.
Yeah.
And I feel like these are, like, the big boys who are, like, because that's the fighting that's going on behind the scenes is them versus this museum. And
I think it is the men. I knew it.
I hate to say
it. That's it. I'm going back. I'm going to come out of retirement. I'm going to be a lesbian again.
Being the fellow in the room. But, I mean, that's kind of how I'm seeing it, because they're not having as much control over it.
And I have to tell you, standing there and having six guys in black with their little, you know, spy microphones in their ears going, walking around, acting like they're, I'm like, really? You know what? You get paid how much an hour to stand at the door, and you think you're so impressive, Mr. Bully? I just, you know, it's so silly. But there is that where it's like, man, you do almost feel oppressed right now by the way they're treating the burlesque dancers. I do kind of realize that you would bring that up.
Well, if you think that now, we ought to think about how our legends felt and how many taboos they broke down for us.
I was just talking with the Twilight Vixen Review, the queer femme burlesque troupe, and I'm like, you know, Satan's Angel tells stories of how when they found out she was a lesbian, they packed her bags and threw her out in the snow.
Damn right.
Yeah, so I mean, we've come a long way, baby, but at the same time, casino sucks on so many different levels.
We've come such a long way that, you know, it's okay for me to wear a merkin, but God forbid I show the area of skin underneath my nipple.
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Show your bare bottom, which is beautiful.
Thank you, by the way.
And a lovely merkin it was, by the way.
Oh, it was a butterfly. I don't know if you're close enough to pick that up, but it was
I got a lot of photos. I'll check it out later. Sometimes it's hard to watch a show.
Here's the problem with his photos. All you see are a bunch of photos of the butterfly, and people will be going, were you on a nature hike?
You've seen
my photos. I'm teasing. But again, your reverse strip last night was wonderful. The number that you actually won with...
Oh, the Powder Puffs.
Is a charming number. It reminded me of cheerleading in a way, and it reminded me of, and I'm like, I love all of the different aspects of dance that were brought into that number. It just was a very eclectic piece that pulled from so many different areas and still still so glamorous.
Thank you. I mean, that routine had developed over sort of 4 or 5 years, and originally I used to begin as a silhouette dance, and then I'd come out with a Powder Puffs, and it would just be me and the Powder Puffs. Then it developed into something else, and then I got really inspired by watching suddenly, it was Jane Mansfield in The Girl Can't Help It, which I've seen about 50 times, and suddenly I was like, that white dress, you know, I really need to create that shape. And then I was inspired to create a lace version of that. And
it's an incredible dress.
It was just because Jane Mansfield was so camp, and you know, she just had this incredible humor, and it was just naughty, but it was funny as well. And she was fabulous. And so I guess I like the cheekiness of that. And, And I've inspired a whole new generation of girls who use Powder Puffs now.
You have.
Apparently.
You have.
Yeah, yes.
And notice how quickly that video came down when you asked?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I actually saw Dita Von Teese did a number 3 years ago,
She has a lovely one with a compact.
That is a giant compact that
it's
lights up.
Lovely.
And it was like, I saw that and I went, I want big props.
Well, there's a really cute story with that, because I was doing my West End show, and I did my Powder Puffs in the West End show with a silhouette dance. Mm-hmm. And she had just done her compact, and she came over to see the West End show, and she said, you know, I've got a new act. I'd love to come over and do it in your show. I said, yeah, we'll work you in. And she said, oh, it's actually a compact. I went, great. Okay, well, you know, we'll put you in with us. Oh, I've got powder puffs. And we were like, no, we'll both do it. I mean, yeah. they're two completely different acts. But I wonder if there are ideas that are in the sky around the same time in the cosmic
universe. It's like
universe.
That whole thing of you may come up with something that is, you know, not realizing there's someone else developing something similar because they had an inspiration. But it is amazing how they're never exactly the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost never does that happen. And both of them are incredibly wonderful numbers.
Well, hers
and totally different.
Hers is the powder puff is the skirt.
Yes.
Isn't it cute?
It is adorable.
Cute as pants.
Yes. But when it lit up, when she opened it, I was like, oh, shit. I love props. I mean, if I had the time and the energy and a big enough stage.
They're a nightmare. They're a logistical
Oh, of course
nightmare.
They are.
I
oh,
have
of course.
This huge 6-foot vintage telephone. The thing has to come in 3 parts so that I can get any one of them through a door individually. And I have to have 4 men to lift it.
You could have stopped it. I have to have 4 men.
Have to have them.
But the thing is a beast, and it's on casters. So we have these special brakes, because if the stage is on a rake, that thing could go wheeling down the stage.
Oh, I love it.
Now, the act
Death by flying telephone.
Oh, that would be great.
The act that you did last night, I could imagine that with a giant mirror behind you reflecting that.
A giant mirror?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure you could.
That way you can see how beautiful you are in the front and the back at the same time.
I wasn't thinking of it that
way.
That
wasn't how he was thinking of it.
Well, that routine I did last night, I usually do it with a bathtub.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yes. And I come on with the gown, I get in the bath, I wash myself, I come out, pat myself dry. It's a whole bubble bath thing. Again, inspired by Lily Sincere.
Of course.
I don't do a sleigh bath. I don't have a panel in there or anything. And then I do fans, reveal and conceal, and then all my evening wear goes on. So basically last night, because I can't do a 9-minute routine for Exotic World, was a very abridged version with a little help from the wind.
Yes. I have to tell you, though, it worked well because it did make the robe and the boas flow beautifully. And it was really
That's
funny.
That's one word for it.
I leaned to one of my friends who was very new, and I said, you'll notice one thing about the women who have been in burlesque for a long time. All of their boas are weighted on the ends with tassels or something so that they have control over them. I said, do you see how that one just flies out to the side no matter what she's trying to do with it, and yet the other girls have a little bit more control with them? And she's like, that's brilliant. I went, Satan's Angel taught me that. And, you know, that's an inspirational piece that I hope I can give to someone and they give to someone else. And, you know, because those are the little things that you have to think about. You can't plan for everything. But
That's
there
right.
are ways of learning to control how your costume will
oh,
work
you
and
bet.
How it will work. I mean, I'm thinking right now, well, the next number I do, if I ever want to perform here, I'm going to go rent one of those big industrial fans and just do my number with that on a couple times and see if it'll work.
Well, you could just be in a Mariah Carey video.
Well, there you go.
Exactly.
With her wind machine.
Like Kitten DeVille did. Oh, no, that was...
Oh, did she come in?
What's her face was... No, Kitten DeVille was in J-Lo. Kitten DeVille was in a J-Lo.
Pretty girl.
Wow. Yeah, very nice. So I don't think for you, because you were pretty well known beforehand. I mean, I don't think that Exotic World title pushed you to a whole new level, but I'm sure that there are things that it definitely helped in your career.
I think the thing for me was that I could actually come back and be an ambassador for Exotic World to the to Britain. And that was really important for me because when I won the award, well, I got Most Classic and the Crown, and especially with the Most Classic as well, it was like a real, an acknowledgement from the legends that you're doing the right thing, and it's all good, and that for me was an absolute honour to have the nod from them.
Yeah,
they were there the first time round. They saw everything, so for me that was the real honour. And so for me to be able to take the word back to the UK and say, look, you know, you need to see these legends. You need to meet them. They're not going to be around for much longer. You have things to learn from them. You really need to go and see and experience. And also, you know, the fact that, you know, we have Japanese performers here.
Oh, I know. Wonderful
and,
stuff,
you know, other
that
Europeans.
That actually says a lot, too.
And
yeah, we've had Scotland, Australia, Japan.
Yeah.
was it Greenland or Iceland last year before last?
Sugarcane came from Finland.
Finland, that's what it was, yes.
Sweden last night, right?
Sweden, yeah. It's amazing to be able to see these performers from all over the country.
And I've noticed that there's a lot more awareness of the Burlesque Hall of Fame in the UK now, which I'm really, really proud to have had the opportunity to do. And I did a huge benefit for them for Exotic World about a year and a half ago. We raised about $5,000.
Wow.
We brought Dirty and Julie and Foxy over, and then this year I brought over Dirty and Kalani and Michelle, and you know, being able to introduce all the Americans over to Britain as well, and just say, you know, to share all these incredible women. And what's so amazing, I thought that the last few years that I've come is that, you know, you never see two acts that are the same.
No, you don't.
And they're such incredibly developed personalities, and they've been working on their own style for all these years. And they're just these, you know, no two girls can be alike.
Absolutely.
They're just incredibly different. And just, wow. Pow.
Pow.
Exactly.
Pow is right.
Speaking of pow, I see
Michelle
Lamour.
Michelle Lamour across there, yes.
Oh, well, I think you need to talk to
Michelle.
We've
actually talked with her once before, and I'm going to get her on again. There are a few people here that I don't often have the opportunity to get a hold of. You are one of them because you are overseas.
I've been bending your ear, haven't I?
You have no idea. Because much like Dita and Catherine are, they're very quiet.
Was
Wasn't she incredible?
And Joe Boobs.
Oh. Yeah, Joe Boobs tribute was amazing. But they're very quiet, reserved, and kind of run in a different community, mm-hmm. much like you do because you're overseas. And so getting in touch with those people and having them at a lot of the shows is difficult because they're under contract with places or they're, you know, like Catherine, constantly working on costumes. So the benefit of these conventions is being able to grab those people and get them on. And so I was thrilled that you had the time to sit and talk with us. You've no idea.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And thank you for having me.
Oh, of course.
Have you spoken with a lot of, you know, like perhaps legends, you know, from the UK? Or are there?
I don't think there are any left. With Peaches Page and, I was going to say Trixie Little. It's not Trixie Little at all.
Wow,
it's
she gets
who, by the way, got second runner-up last night as well.
Exactly.
We didn't mention that to us.
Congratulations to her.
She was fabulous.
Trixie, oh, damn. I've just got Trixie Little in my
head. It's okay. It's okay.
Anyway.
But you know, once you get it out there, they can come out of the woodwork, too.
Yeah.
Or stonework.
I think a lot of them are dearly departed. You know, they were the ones who danced at the windmill. I have a mentor who's an old showboy who actually performed with Liberace and
fantastic
Dietrich as well. And he had his own troupe called Les Boys. And he was in the show My Bare Lady from 1954. And he's wonderful. But he often talks about the old stars from the windmill. He performed at the windmill with all the old great burlesque comedians as well, who have now then become really old sort of TV presenters, and they're still there sort of hanging on.
Old and angry.
Old and rich.
Yeah, well, too.
And with beautiful young wives. And he's lost touch with, they're dearly departed.
Yeah.
All the girls who used to be doing it in the 50s, they're no longer with us. It's a real shame.
Yeah, it is. And that part of that, too, is the burlesque curve was over this way into the United States. So it was like a lot of it was influenced from. So your generation definitely is going to unfortunately pass on sooner. And it's a tragedy because there are probably so many things that are being lost from that culture that will never be regained because they are gone. And that's very sad.
That's right. It is sad. And there are things, like you say, tricks that you learn and tips that you pass on and stories that you hear that money can't buy. You know, and it's precious and special. But
let me ask you one more question before we go, because I ask everybody that's on the podcast almost, if you had advice to give to people who are just starting out or maybe have been in burlesque for a couple of years, what's the one thing where you're like, this is like the coolest thing, or here's the best advice I could give you? Angel, of course, says get an IRA. Plan for your future, because, you know, live fast and die young. The live fast part is really great, but if you don't die young, you're pretty much screwed. So
only Satan would say that.
You know, so yeah. So what else, you know, I've had beautiful tips of, you know, take lessons, which is, you know, practice. Those things
keep
that
your
are,
day job.
Yeah, some of them work. Keep your day job, because this is not something you're going to make a living on all the time. I had to go work in musical theater, and then I'd go out on tour with my next gig. You know, what are the things that you think are great bits of advice? Or maybe people have asked you questions many times that you're like, here's a great little tip.
I think it all boils down to one word, and that's commitment. It's commitment to, your own personality and developing your own product and doing what you do. And it's commitment in, you know, you invest your time, you invest your money, you invest your research, it's about commitment to your product, because you are your product. And, you know, I think that's the key word. And also about, it's about being yourself and more. It's, you know, being 100 times yourself, and that's when you're at your most sexy, I think, as well.
Absolutely, there's nothing better than confidence. And if you are practiced, you are researched, you are prepared, you may still be nervous about performing, but there's no way you're going to fail, and that is the sexiest thing, because you know you can do it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Jinx, I just said the same thing as at the same time. I'm so excited.
Am I supposed to punch you?
No,
okay.
No. I adore you in modesty, and thank you so much for spending so much time with us.
Thank you so much.
And I look
me.
Forward to seeing you perform again.
And can I say also a big thank you to just all the Americans who've made me feel so welcome over here over the last few years. And, you know, it was just, I think everyone thinks that there must be all sorts of tantrums and tiaras. And I've come over for many years and have experienced nothing but kindness.
Absolutely.
And you know, warmth. And I just think what a credit to the genre. So thank you.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Bye.